the home team.
And here we go.
All right, to end hour number two, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff till 7 tonight. Braves have played and they lost. They led and then they lost. They led 7-1 going into the eighth inning. Woo. And then they got beaten 9-8 by the stinking Red Sox, too.
And now they got to
finish off a sweep.
Now you got to fly cross country. That's rough.
Going to be a long flight, much longer flight. I don't know, it was a weird game because it was, you know, it started at noon. Both teams are trying to get out of town. The Red Sox, you know, had rested a bunch of starters. The Braves had Freeman, who didn't play today. And then when they led 7-1, all of a sudden, you know, now, you know, Markakis comes out of the game. Somebody else is playing. And it felt like, well, sure. I mean, the Red Sox are just trying to get out of here. They're trailing 7-1. They're not going to try to win the game. And then, lo and behold, in that eighth inning, couple guys get on. And then it's, well, second and third, and then a hit. And, well, now all of a sudden it's 7-3, and there's still nobody out. And a couple, yep. Then you got some pinch hit. All these guys that weren't starting are now pinch hitting. And
I know you guys are napping back there. You need to wake up and get you to pinch hit.
It is. Thing you know, the game's tied. And, you know, Freeman did give Atlanta the lead back in the bottom of the eighth with a home run. But Brandon Phillips, who hadn't been on a roster all year, the Red Sox, like, just signed him. He played his first game today, and he hits a two-out, two-run homer in the ninth inning, and that's the ball game.
I just always, whenever he's done something, I just always flash back to meeting that kid on his official recruiting visit back in, I think, 1999 or 2000.
Yeah. Well, he didn't tell you about that day. He was going to stick it to the Braves, but he did today. And so, I don't know. This is a – I mean, I guess all this week means and all today means, though, is the division's going to come down to the seven games that the Phillies and the Braves play each other. Seven of the Braves' last 10 games are against the Phillies, and the results of those games will determine who wins the NL East, because Atlanta's got a tough four games coming up this weekend, and the Phillies got to go play the Mets, who they haven't necessarily handled, though. I mean, I remember the Phillies losing to those guys like 24-4 one afternoon we were sitting in here.
And it took a three-run Phillies rally, I believe, to take it from 24-1 to 24-4. So
yeah, they covered.
I think you're right. Just if you're the Braves, I think all you can ask for at this point is, can you go into those last 10 games with the lead in the division just to give yourself a little margin for error?
Yeah.
You know, if you go in, let's say in the three games in between their seven-game set, let's say the Braves and Phillies play those even. They both go 2-1. If Atlanta could go in up by two games, you could go 3-4 against the Phillies and you'd still win the division.
Which is what the lead will be if the Phillies beat the Marlins tonight. The Braves' lead will be at two games after losing today. I guess on the bright side, you know, the Diamondbacks they're taking on a little water themselves. They were in first place. They were in first place before football season started, and now a check of the standings yesterday showed that they're now in third place in the NL West. So
that's a tight one there. I mean, you got the Rockies, the Dodgers, and the D-backs all right there. So hopefully that'll give us one of our chaos scenarios. Chris will have us a couple playoffs in the National League.
All right, 5 at 5 time now, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's talk about some South Carolina stuff here. We discussed last hour one piece on the old internet where there is someone out there that thinks there's five spots where South Carolina is better than Georgia. Question for you, Jeff, as we open it up. Is there any spot that you look at South Carolina and you think, like, yeah, that might be a unit where they do excel over the Dogs?
I don't know if there's one where they're better, but I think there are a couple of spots. As you brought up, Chris, in the first hour with Debo Samuel, they're very dangerous in the return game. Now, hopefully Hot Rod can bang them away and Jake Camarda can kick them high enough to where that's not a factor. They are excellent at wide receiver. Georgia's very good at wide receiver. But that's a thing. When you look at these matchups, it's not really important who's better at wide receiver. It's how your wide receivers match up against the other team's secondary. Now, Georgia has a lot of youth in that secondary, but it is a very talented bunch. South Carolina's got Jamias Williams back there, who Georgia wanted. So, yeah, I'm sure there's some spots where South Carolina feels like they match up. They probably feel like they do match up at running back. You know, hey, Chubb and Michelle are gone. They're going to want Swift to prove it to them. But there are areas where Georgia is better. Most significantly, Georgia's got a better head coach, and Georgia has a deeper and more talented roster. That doesn't mean Georgia's going to win the game. But I would like to go, Chris, into the field of battle, having the better team and the better coach. I'll take my chances.
Yeah, but this is this is the first of those two early September games that we looked at during the offseason and thought, well, those might be the two toughest wins that Georgia's going to have to try and get early on in the year with Bentley and the potential for South Carolina's offense. I mean, I guess what has increased my angst a little bit more so than where it was is, give the opponent considered, but South Carolina's offense looked really good last weekend against Coastal Carolina when you might have thought that, yeah, I mean, Brian McClendon is – while he was there last year, I guess last year he was technically the co-OC. He wasn't calling the plays, though. Maybe he did in the Michigan game and the bowl game.
I think they gave him the reins in the bowl game.
Yeah. Yes. So, but, here they are. It's his offense now, and they were a pretty well-oiled-looking machine. I mean, even against, you've seen times in the past when maybe some middle-of-the-pack SEC team would struggle a little bit, and they'd win the game, but it wasn't the prettiest performance. But the Gamecocks came out and actually looked like they had practiced heading into that before that game against them. So,
well, as you pointed out too, Chris, it was a ton of long drives. It wasn't like a pick six and a fumble inside the 10.
No, I mean, they earned all their points. And so many times in against opponents like that, you look at those blowouts and it's like, okay, well, they had a 5-yard drive after the team, fumbled inside the five and just were, completely incompetent. But that wasn't the case there. I guess now if you wanted to view it, the bad news I would say for South Carolina would be I wouldn't expect that you'd be able to sustain a bunch of long drives against a defense like Georgia's, that you better be able to hit some big plays and be explosive here and there, because the chances are you're not going to be putting together like these 7 or 8-play, 80-yard touchdown marches against a defense like the Dogs.
Now, you would certainly hope not from the Dogs' standpoint. Then that's where the chess match goes back to Georgia, and just don't give up the big play on the back end. Don't give up the big play on the back end. If they hit something and they get in the red zone, you try and hold them to 3 there, you can overcome that. But that's where you just don't want to have, and this is what Kirby and Mel Tucker have been talking about so much, you just don't want to have those mental breakdowns on the back end and give up the cheap touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, they had 7 plays that went for more than 20 yards, but they didn't have any 30-plus yarders or anything longer than that. So, there wasn't anything where they were just going to quickly be able to just strike anywhere, but they went on some nice long sustained drives. And it's one thing to do that against Coastal Carolina, but if you got to lean on trying to do that and pick up chunks of yards, I think that only goes for so long when you face tougher defenses, which I'd like to think Georgia does have a tougher defense than Coastal Carolina.
Sure do hope so. I mean, another factor in this game, too, I mean, Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp, they've been kind of from the same coaching tree there, so they're probably not going to be a ton of secrets. Last year both guys broke out a couple of trick plays there, but it could be one of those games where you do see a lot of similarities. This is just a spot where, from a Georgia standpoint, you got to hope that the Bulldogs, with the superior depth and with more firepower in a couple of positions, that can make the difference. And you got to have your guys be guys. Like Fromm and Swift need to have big games on Saturday.
Yeah, and that was the key we talked about so many times last year, and it came down to Roquan mm-hmm. had to get it done, but that's where DeAndre Baker defensively come up with something, and maybe this would be a good time to pick up another non-offensive touchdown.
Ooh, I like the sounds of that. Need a pick six.
Maybe get some kind of a return or something like that going.
Need a pick six.
Yeah, get a cheap one. Maybe a shorter field at some point, and keep them keep them buried and make them have to go the length of the field to score points, because I don't think they'd have as many – they'd have as much luck as they did the first game of the season.
And the thing in a game like this, South Carolina, something's going to happen early. The first time that crowd gets fired up, it's going to be just so hot. In a game like this, you have to be able to withstand that push and just hang around, and then eventually – when that emotion and energy dies down some, the better team, the cream is going to rise to the top. But you just have to not – if things are going their way, that's when you can't afford to make the mistake to give it something easy. You know, if it's 14-10 at the half, that's fine. Then don't do something stupid and give up a cheap touchdown to fall behind 21-10. Just hang in there, and the longer the game goes along, the more it should favor Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing last year's team didn't deal with a whole lot, was those situations, and especially on the road where they were, you know, getting behind. The one game that snowballed was the Auburn game.
Everything went wrong in that one.
But as it turned out, that actually worked out quite well.
It's a great loss.
All right, moving on to the 5-5. After 1 week of the season, let's update the coach's hot seat ranking after the first week. Who's the new leader? Because I don't think it can be Ed Orgeron any longer. I
mean, Willie Taggart, one game in.
I think that might be the answer. That was a pitiful performance.
And I'm telling you this, and this is no piling on, I'm greatly appreciative of all of the good days here, and he is a wonderful man. That was not a good look for Mark Richt on Saturday night either at Miami. The heat is turned up there. That was a team that looked completely unprepared. Have you heard this before? Their offensive line was not good, and the special teams, it looked like they had not spent 5 minutes on it.
Well, remember that during the offseason, there was the one in the season of lists.
Yep.
What the biggest question mark for, you know, these top 10 teams heading into the season in Miami's was offensive line.
Yep.
And that proved to be a big problem for them Sunday night. But Willie Taggart, that was a pretty bad performance. And, you know, what works against him, too, it's just, I mean, the guy had a losing record anyway coming into getting the Florida State job.
It was a head-scratching hire.
Yeah,
it really was.
And, you know, the first game of the year, it's they score 3 points at home, and they've got the ball on the 1 yard line and false start because they're in some odd formation. Then later on, they're goal to go, third down. They need 10 yards. They're down 2 touchdowns, and they take their best player out of the game.
Well, and that's a situation, too, if you're Florida State. You're looking at it. We've talked at length, and I know what happened to old Lance in Florida Atlantic, but – you look at the state of Florida, how many programs are now, what UCF has done, what USF has done, Florida Atlantic. Where does Florida State's head coach rank in the pecking order in terms of quality of head coaches in that state?
Well, he's below Mullen. He's below Richt. He's below Lance.
I mean, Charlie Strong.
Heupel's just in his first game. Butch Davis is still at FIU, right? Yeah. To put him below Butch Davis.
He's not in the top five in the state.
Well, I mean, so the Florida Atlantic arguably has a better coach than Florida State does, or Florida International even.
Yeah, they've
– maybe Florida State should have hired Lance. Although we're talking about Lance, and he just got smoked at Oklahoma. But, I mean, he has coached at Florida Atlantic. I guess they're kind of supposed to get blown out, even though I thought they wouldn't.
Yeah, I liked him too. Yeah. Catching 21, come on. Yeah. Don't give OU a scare.
But, yeah, no, they didn't. They did not. What was the score when they first scored?
Well, I think it was like 56-0.
56-0, yeah. I think I saw it at 49-0, and I
don't. It was not good.
No, I went, you know what? Ooh. I don't think they're going to cover.
That doesn't smell like a back door to me, my friend.
Yeah, there was no back door getting left unlocked for Lance to walk through.
Let's see. I'm trying to think some other hot seats you might see. My man Kevin Butler said Chip Kelly should be on the hot seat after one game. That was pitiful, losing to Cincinnati like that.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean,
yeah,
not that Spate's any good anyway, but he did get hurt. Their starting quarterback got hurt during the game, and they had to bring in a true freshman. Although we did that last year, and it worked out okay.
It worked out pretty darn good, didn't it? Yeah, so to me, Taggart, he would be the one-game hot seat, and – It did not look good for Coach Richt. And now here's the thing, too. You know, this is what have you done for me today. Miami's now lost 4 games in a row. They were 10-0, and they lost to Pitt. They got blown out by Clemson. What was that, 38-3?
Yeah.
They got blown out by Wisconsin in the Orange Bowl.
And now blown out by LSU.
Yeah, so that's four losses in a row. I don't know if Pitt wound up being double digits. I think it did, but
it doesn't matter. Just that was a bad loss.
That was a bad loss.
They weren't good, and Miami was undefeated. Miami will win this week. They play Savannah State. That'll break that losing streak. But then they better watch out, though. They go to Toledo.
And their players are going to be – who in the world scheduled this? What are they doing?
I don't know. I mean, that's they went to App State. 2 years ago, and they got a very good win there.
They
did. And then last year they were supposed to go to Arkansas State, but that got weathered out. And now this year they're going to Toledo.
I don't get it.
I think they've got some other funky road games scheduled down the road, too. Does Miami get a guarantee? Like, does Toledo pay them like half a mil to go there and play? How's that work? Actually, I guess Miami probably has to schedule those road games so they can avoid paying Toledo to come play them.
They must. Maybe they just have to do a straight home and home, or maybe they get a 2-for-1. I don't know, Chris.
I know Toledo went there last year.
Well, they might just have done a straight home and home with them.
Yeah.
Probably a 2-for-1.
I think they
still
did the same thing with Arkansas State, where Arkansas State had played there a couple of years ago, and then they returned the favor. Miami doesn't have one of those athletics departments just flush with cash.
No, and the stadium's forever from campus.
Yeah, it's not really in the same zip code, is it?
Same county. It was right on the line, right?
Do you think that J-Lo and A-Rod will continue to attend games this year or no?
Hey, y'all going to the Savannah State game on Saturday?
Yeah, will they be there? Or is that a negative? Are they just going to be front runners? Maybe they'll still come to the Florida State game. Who knows, though?
Savannah State, I have fond memories. When I was a kid, they had a terrific coach named Bill Davis. He was really, really good. And they were Division II. Georgia Southern was 1AA. So they bounced up, and they were going to play Georgia Southern. And this is when they had Shannon Sharp. And so I went to the game. Dogs were off that Saturday, and Southern killed them. It was something like 49-14, but Shannon Sharp did have an 80-yard touchdown. But the halftime score, Chris, I mean, this is Coach Russell had a great team. It might have been 42-7 at the half. I mean, Southern was just killing them. So part of my duties working up in the press box, I'm in 10th grade or something, I'm running the stats down to the coaches. I dropped them off in the Georgia Southern locker room and went around the corner. Coach Davis was just out by himself, just smoking a cigarette outside of their locker room. It's like, Coach, you gonna look at this? He goes, thanks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I'm good.
I mean, it's like, what? Oh, hey, we're down 42-7. What are you going to say?
I'm looking at Miami's future schedules here, and Mark Richt will appear in College Station, Texas before Georgia will. So he had to leave Athens to play the Aggies.
That's unbelievable.
They go there in 2022.
You know, like I said, this has to be – I mean, if it's not, you know, it's got to be in the top two or three. For Georgia and Texas A&M, for whatever reason, A&M came in the league in 2012, so we'll meet next season in 2019. So it's 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. We would have gone 7 seasons without playing in the regular season.
And then do we play them there in 23?
Something like that.
Because Miami plays them that year too, but Miami goes there in 2022, so Mark Richt will play there as Miami's coach before Georgia will have ever played there with them in the SEC at that point for a decade.
I know. It's bizarre.
Yeah. But it looks like Miami doesn't have any funky
no
road
good
after
games.
This one. They do play at Temple.
Did they play
in 2023, but
they probably play that in like the Eagles Stadium or something.
Yeah, but they're coming up like next year they play Florida again. They go
to
Michigan State 2 years after
that.
They go to Texas A&M in 2022. So
well, what was it?
Things are picking up.
Did they play a game at Florida Atlantic or something? Was the Dolphin Stadium getting renovated and they had to play one there or something?
They might
Does
have.
That ring a bell?
I see they have an at FIU in 2021, but at least that's not. I mean, that's pretty much in the same I mean, I think FIU Stadium is probably closer to them than the Orange Bowl is.
Yeah, it is.
Or whatever they play in now.
I've been to that campus.
I have too, yeah, yeah.
It's off the beaten path.
Yeah, but it's kind of right down the road, though.
It is.
It is closer to...
Oh, to campus, for sure.
...than it is to Joe Robbie Stadium.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling it Joe Robbie.
Yeah. All right, moving on now in the 5 at 5 on the eve of the NFL season, Jeff.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow.
It kicks off tomorrow with the Falcons at the Eagles. The Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
is in Atlanta this year.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell us the two teams that will meet in the Super Bowl.
Texans and Falcons.
Okay. So that also just that shows your hand too as part of 7 and 5 out.
I might have them in the playoffs.
But the Texans might be one of those teams out of the playoffs that are in it. So the Houston Texans will play the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
I'm not going to just pick New England again.
Why not?
God, they got those. Well, the winds hurt. Who's your early lean?
I'm going to do it. I can't believe I am, but I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Superchargers.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Los Angeles Rams.
That would be so fitting. The Battle of L.A. in Atlanta.
Two teams that no one in L.A. cares about playing in Atlanta. But you know what? Georgia fans should buy up those tickets to go watch Gurley in the Super Bowl.
That might be. Would that be the first non-Super Bowl sellout?
Could be.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, one of the teams plays in a soccer stadium.
All right, so let's say if that's the case, and out of Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, like two of those teams are playing the national championship game in football in the 49ers stadium this year. It's like, can we flip-flop?
Yeah, because that could be what ends up happening.
It could.
Yeah, Clemson and Bama and Santa Clara and the Rams and Chargers in Atlanta. That would be great.
The Battle of L.A.? Well, I never will forget, along those lines, when the great Irk Russell, when Georgia Southern won its first 1AA title in 1985, me and my dad flew out to the game. They beat Furman. You know, Furman's in Greenville. You know, Georgia Southern's in Statesboro.
Yep.
That game was played Tacoma, Washington.
Well, of course. Yeah. That's good and easy to get to.
That was what, and I'm sure even the folks in Tacoma were like, yeah, you know, kids. Maybe they could play this in Fulton County Stadium or,
yeah,
you know, go to Clemson or Georgia, play it there.
Well, you know, I'm sure it was a Chamber of Commerce event. I'm sure Tacoma, Washington has had visitors from Statesboro and Greenville ever since.
Yeah, just going back.
Yeah, that's their annual vacation hotspot now, Tacoma.
Well, especially in December.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, it's still just so hot and muggy down in the South in December.
That was the most snow I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah, the most snow I've ever seen was earlier this year when I was in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, that would beat that.
Finally, Jeff, wrapping up the 5 at 5, I guess we actually opened up the segment, Todd. We were talking about the Braves, and they just had a horrendous loss today. And I mean, is that do you view that as potentially a loss where the wheels are going to come off now? Or is it like, nah, it's just a game. It's still September 5th, and
I think
it's a month left.
It's a wheels come off loss, Bramer. If these 7 games in Arizona and at the Giants – if they go like 1-6 or 2-5 out there, yeah, that ain't good.
Yeah, I mean, the Phillies, you know, it's not like the Phillies have been playing great,
right.
But, you know, we'll see what they do tonight against the Marlins. And now they do get to play the Mets this weekend.
Real quick, could the Nats play themselves back in it? Because Washington does come to Atlanta.
Well, they're not, you know, officially eliminated.
I mean, after that, let me find this. MLB's. Yeah, after the Braves go out west, Washington does come to Atlanta.
Yeah, they've got a homestand that includes the Cardinals, Nationals, and I guess that's those 4 games against the Phillies too, right?
Yeah. So let's see, they're 76-1. They played 139, so what's that? I got 23 games left.
Should I say only 7 back or is 7? That's still
a ways. That's a long way.
I mean, they're a game under 500.
How about this for Atlanta, Chris? Didn't realize this. That new stadium, Braves 37-34. Braves actually 39-29 away from home.
Well, thinking about it, the Braves have been swept this year at home by the Giants.
Yep.
By the Rockies a
couple
weeks ago.
Oh, that was a 4-gamer.
And You know, they had to win on Sunday to avoid being swept by the Orioles, I remember, earlier this year. And then they just got swept by the Red Sox. So they've been swept a couple times at home this year.
Quick check on Baltimore, though, with the win by Boston. 55-game lead for the Red Sox over the Orioles. But Baltimore, Chris, they have gotten to number 41. They won last night. So the 62 Mets are still safe for the worst team in the modern era of Major League Baseball.
Well, they lost a half game this afternoon already. Hopefully they can get that back tonight, though.
This is how good Boston is. Like, the Yankees are 87-52. That's the second-best record in baseball. The third best is Houston with 86 wins and Oakland at 83. So that's a tremendous – they're 35 games over 500 and 9 behind Boston. Tampa is 75-63. They would be second in the AL Central. They would be a game behind the Braves, and they would be a game and a half – a game out of first in the NL West. They are 20.5 behind the Red Sox.
Yeah. And the Red Sox just pulled one out today, too.
Oof.
There's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.